what we want to do this evening, I guess what I wanted to bookend our relationship series with was just the thought of how important it is to get good people speaking into your life in the relationship space. I think sometimes there can be this feeling that we have to go it alone. Relationships can kind of feel like they're a private matter, if that makes sense. It's like, I got to deal with these things on my own. Can I just get my notes as well, Kyle? That'd be really good, because I'm just about running out in my head of where I'm going. So that'd be really good. And I'm just going to keep treading water for just a few moments. Am I doing it well? I had you convinced, didn't I? You were like, he knows what he's talking about. Well, I know what I'm talking about. I'm joking. I know what we're talking about. There we go. Great. I think as we've talked about relationships, one of the key things has probably been this thought, which is out of 1 Corinthians 6:12, and it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. I think that when it comes to the relationship space, one of the healthy things to be thinking is not so much, is this right or wrong? It's thinking, is this beneficial? Is this helpful for me to get to where I want to go? Now, I guess in relationships, we would say, Pastor Sue spoke so brilliantly about dating last week. Kind of the focus being working out, is this headed to marriage? Is this the kind of person I want to marry? I think kind of fooling around at that kind of space is just, it's asking for heartache. It's playing with people's feelings and people's emotions. I think in this space, there's so much that's legal and socially acceptable and okay that's not actually beneficial for us. If our goal is to have a lot of longevity in the relationships that we're having, there's things that might be legal that aren't necessarily wise. And I think that's maybe a healthy filter to run stuff through when we're in our relationships, is not so much right or wrong, but more wise and unwise, expedient and not expedient, beneficial and not beneficial. So talking about wisdom, I think one of the best things you can do, wherever you're at, whatever your relationship status is, but especially as you're dating, as you're engaged, as you're married, is getting someone around you that's maybe a little bit further along the journey and that you see that's doing that really well, if that makes sense. Getting around those kind of people because they have so much wisdom to share. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I thought tonight we'd get some relationship counseling happening. No, that's not what we're doing. That would be funny, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty spicy probably. But there's actually a lot of wisdom in getting some people who are a bit further along, learning from them. So that was really my heart this evening, is to get a few people who I see doing the season they're in really well and hopefully trying to glean some of the wisdom from them. So I've got a couple of people. I've got Gabe is going to come up. I've got Josh and Sarah. And I've got Peter and Jenny Aspen. If you guys could come join me as well, that'd be great. If you want to come up here, you go on there. Okay, great. Peter and Jenny, we thought we'd put you on the couch in the middle because we thought you would probably not like that. And we just thought, you know, we'll do it. You can sit there. You can go there, Gabe, if you want. Nice. This feels odd having my laptop like this. How you doing, Gabe?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, you haven't got a microphone.
I'm good, thanks. Oh, that's loud. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I like that you brought your water bottle up here.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I can't lie.
I will be really honest. I said to Gabe, I'll send through the questions. And then about 15 minutes ago, he's like, hey, bro, like, I'm just willing to go with whatever. I don't know what the questions are. And I was like, oh, sorry. So he said, I'm better on the fly, which is that true?
You'll see.
We'll work that out. So we've got Gabe representing the single people because I think you're doing that really well. We've also got Josh and Sarah who are newly engaged, which is awesome. Congratulations. Representing our... Can't touch the floor. Yeah, these stools kind of just rotate themselves a little bit. So we try...
My neck, not my body.
So how long you guys been engaged for now?
How long it's been since December. Yes.
Okay, nice. 4 months. And when are you getting married?
September.
Oh, very nice.
Very exciting.
And we've got Peter and Jenny with us, who, if you haven't met Peter and Jenny, you need to meet Peter and Jenny.
Yes.
You guys, you've been around New Hope for a while. Hey, were the senior pastors when my parents were here, I believe. When I was born. There you go. That's awesome. Dedicated me. Did the dedication. Nice. And how long have you guys been... Oh, you... Sorry. I was going to say that. Yeah, I was like, there's no way. And how long have you guys been married? 45 years. Oh, we just checked. We got that microphone on. 45 years. That's awesome. Isn't that great? Let's give it up for 45 years. That's so cool. So to, I guess, kick this off a little bit, I kind of want to just progressively work through the relationship stages. So I've said to everyone, input wherever you feel. The first question, which I might throw at Gabe if that's okay. I think there's so much said about singleness. There's probably a lot of unhealthy stuff around it as well. I feel like single people definitely feel that pressure of, like, when are you going to start dating? If you're single, what's wrong with you? Like, that kind of thing, which I think is silly, by the way. But what would you say, what are your thoughts around, like, how do you, I guess, remain, how do you make the most of and really enjoy that season? How are you doing that?
Well, I think, like important thing to remember is it's your life, so you live it how you're meant to be. And I think it's important to realize that everyone has different timing, and God has different timing for everyone. And I think sometimes, like, you can feel like, oh, just because someone else is doing, like, they're going through life this way, now I have to compare myself to that. But in reality, like, if you try to do that pace, it's going to be different to what you're comfortable with. And you're not going to be comfortable in the different pace. So I think everyone has the different paces, and it's important to trust that pace, because God gave that pace to you. And I think staying true to that is so key.
That's so good. And I think that's advice to us wherever we are, like whatever our relationship status is. One thing I've noticed now, so Talitha and I have been married 10 years, we've got 3 kids. One thing I've noticed is people always put pressure on you to be at the next stage. Like, when you're single, there's pressure to be dating. When you're dating, there's pressure to get married. When you get married, there's pressure to have kids. When you have a kid, there's pressure to have more kids. We just had Goldie, she's 6 months old, and people are already asking me, when are you having another baby? Are you finished? And it's like, whoa, we got a 6 month old. We're gonna deal with that first. So I think that's such good advice. Hey, just like running your own race, setting your own pace. Has anyone else got thoughts on that? Like, how to really make the most of whatever season you're in? Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
I think what Sue said when she was speaking in church the other week, singleness is not second best.
Yeah. That's,
it really isn't. And you never rush into it, and the most important thing is your relationship with God. Mm. If that's not healthy and consistent and daily, your relationship with everyone else won't be healthy either.
Mm. Right.
So yeah. Singleness is not second best, and remember that. And we live in a kind society now. In the society that I grew up in, if you were a single woman, you were called a spinster. Mm. What an ugly, horrid term.
Yeah.
And all the connotations that went along with that. But if you were a male, unmarried, you were a bachelor. You had a bachelor pad and you were the lad around town.
Yeah.
But now society is a kind place of single people. Mm. Women are educated, can get jobs and look after themselves. So once upon a time, women didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
They had to depend on someone. But so remember that, because singleness is something that is really good. It is a gift. Mm. And so is being in a relationship is a gift from God also.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Peter, about like the word contentment, like being content in whatever season that you're in?
Well, I think life is about taking every day as an opportunity from God. Mm. and living every day. And God brings some wonderful things into your life and people into your life, and you make the most of that, and you benefit from that. But you've still got to cherish every day.
Yes.
And that, as Jenny said, daily The Christian life, which sometimes leads into married life, is one of depth and distance.
Yeah.
Got to have the depth.
Yeah.
You've got to have the depth. You've got to have some substance because there's lots of challenges. And life generally is more about living with questions than living with answers.
Right.
So what do you do with that? You reach out to God and say, Lord, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hold on to your hand and I'm going to look for you to lead me through this next stage.
Yeah. So good. That's worth like stopping and thinking about for a moment. I think that's awesome. And I think all this like taking it day by day, enjoying, making the most of every day. I think one of the myths around relationships is that can't coexist with having vision for your future.
Yeah.
Like you can have vision. Like I would love to be married. I would love to be in a relationship. You can actually hold that intention with, but I'm so happy with where I am right now. And I'm making the most of every single day.
Yeah.
Have you guys got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to, I guess, add to that. There's purpose in every season and you won't find purpose in a person. So what I mean by that is if you don't have your own individual purpose, if you get into a relationship, you're not going to discover it there.
Right.
Because God has an individual journey for every person. So you need to find that as well. And that's just important. And that's what that single season is for, is to find that purpose and like discover what that is and be able to step forward into that. So.
Yeah. And to just like wield your dispensable income all for yourself. You can be selfish without feeling bad about that. Like that's one of the underrated things about being single. You don't have anything else to worry about except yourself, and that's okay.
But also save.
Yeah. I look back at like before we were married and I was like, I don't know where my money went. Like probably just to McDonald's. Like they own most of all the money I made before we got married. I guess now we're over that side. What, I guess going through the dating stage, like what's your advice to people around that? What are some things you found helpful like while you were dating?
The first thing I guess Sarah and I were really intentional about was the only thing we ever want to do is add to each other's life. So from the get-go, we never wanted to take away from the other person. We only wanted to add to them and be able to see them fulfill their purpose. It's a catchphrase, but the purpose is a big thing, I think. So in everything we did, it was to be able to get the other person to fulfill their purpose as best they could and support them in that, and then the other person would do that. And when you do that, like you walk together. And it just makes the journey a lot more enjoyable because you're always going somewhere. And it's not a self-fulfillment thing because you're always kind of looking for the other person, how you can add to their lives. Add to that.
I think that's so much healthier than, I think often relationships become like, what can I get out of this relationship? I think whenever you watch, especially like reality TV and stuff like that, it's like, will they meet my needs? I have all these needs, I need someone to meet them. And it's like, oh, that's like probably going to end in pain if you're just looking for someone to fulfill you. It's so much more healthy to be like, what can I add to this person? How can I fulfill their needs rather than how can I meet my needs through a person? I think there's a word for that, which is like something to do with using someone. There's probably a word, but like it's not a healthy way. I'm thinking extortion, but it's not extortion. Have you got something to add to that, Sarah?
I think one thing that I've really noticed over the last 2 years has been, I never really considered much what it would mean, like whether you choose to date someone with the same faith as you or not. It's just, I guess, because I wasn't dating, I never really thought too much about it. But being able to see how we're able to serve to our highest capacity without fear that the other one will feel left out or that they'll feel like you're not spending enough time with them because they understand that there's something greater in your life.
Yeah.
That's such a gift. Mm. Like I never have to worry that Josh thinks that I'm spending too much time out with life group, with church, doing what I know God's called me to do. And I don't have to fear that that's going to negatively impact our relationship, because I know he has that same core faith.
Yeah.
And it was something I didn't think a lot about beforehand, but now that I'm in the season, I'm so grateful that we get to share that together. Yeah. And we can both serve so wholeheartedly without fear of what the other one might think that they're not getting enough of, or
right,
their time's not the same. But the other thing that I would say with dating is I would really encourage people to make sure that they've really found a great confidence within themselves and with God, because just because you're dating someone doesn't mean that you're going to marry them. And if you don't have the confidence to be without that person, you might very well go a very long way with someone knowing that they're not good for you without the strength to actually step out,
right,
without the strength to actually say, as an individual, like, I just don't think this is working. Being able to have the confidence to know that you're okay by yourself actually frees you to meet people and to journey with them and to honestly decide for yourself whether you're going to be able to do the long journey with them.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to do that.
So good. I think that's that security thing, right? Like, if you're not secure in yourself, someone else won't make you secure. So I think that's really important to be like, and again, if the purpose of dating is to figure out, is this the right person to marry? Breaking up is a viable option. Like, because you figured out, this is not the person I want to marry. Maybe we need to make breaking up cool again or something like that. No, obviously that's not the goal, but it's okay to work out, this is not the person for me. I'm getting myself in trouble here, aren't I, Peter?
Digging holes.
Digging holes. Have you got anything to add back to that? Like that thought of like, I know, advice for people in the dating space? Or?
When Levi asked us this morning, I went home, on the way home, I said to Peter, I think he's chosen the wrong people. Because sometimes we get this idea, you know, meet the right person and it's just all about them, but very few people have just marital bliss all through their married life.
Mm.
So the reality of it is, like, Peter and I have been married 45 years, but we're more a testament to the power of God's love and forgiveness.
Right.
And that outworking in our lives. Yeah. And you know, people give up too easy. You think of the fruit of the Spirit. What's in there? Long-suffering, patience.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that sort of thing. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about love. It elaborates on what love is. It's not... you know, getting grumpy and all that sort of thing. So we've got to be very realistic about, like you said, about walk out of it if you know it's not going to work in the long term. But if you are in there, you can make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've got the Holy Spirit within us and God working within us. And be realistic, because we are selfish. As a teacher, I'm always saying to children, is it about you? And it's not. Because there's hardly any time we can do what we want, when we want, how we want.
Mm.
We're born into a family and we must fit into a family. We go to school, we must fit into the school. We work, we must fit into that. So, yeah, just in it for the long run, and that's where Christ must be the centre. Otherwise, yeah, you'll never make it.
Yeah, great. I mean, speaking of that, like, Peter, could you speak? I don't know, how important is forgiveness in a relationship, like to be able to forgive one another?
Yeah, it's very important.
Like, I guess Jenny's, she's had some practice.
Lots. Yeah. It's ongoing. Yeah. And if you don't have that, I mean, those issues eventually, they just become insurmountable.
Mm.
They grow and grow and grow. And the quote we heard the other day is the most influential person in your life is the person you refuse to forgive.
Right, wow.
So you carry that, and that just works and grinds and eats away at you, and eventually it's... And the issue is not with them.
Mm, yeah.
It's with my refusal to forgive. So.
Yeah.
There was a good thought a moment ago talking about that, but the promise of the word is that God puts the solitary in families.
Mm.
So there's this progression, you know, and it's families. In the sense that we sort of see this thing, single, dating, marriage, children. But God, wherever you are, he wants to connect healthy people around you.
Right. Yeah.
And that can be, you know, of course, fellowship. The outworking of that can be just church life. It can be home fellowship groups, that sort of thing. But the intention is that God puts healthy people around you. And in that group of healthy people, there might be someone who's got a nicer smile than everybody else.
Right. So, is that your story?
I chose the prettiest who turned out to be the smartest. and the most clever.
He still thinks that works.
We'll let him believe it. Yeah, no, it's good. I guess, Gabe, like, for you, like, just talking about friendship, like, how big a thing for you is that in, like, your current season? Oh, I should give you a microphone, sorry.
Probably, like, just how important, like, having friendships are. Yeah, I think friendships are key because, like, you know, it's good to do, you know, life alone, but it's also better to have people around you when you do life because, you know, life fluctuates. It's always ups and downs. And I think the good thing about friendships is sometimes friendships are just reminders because, like, when we're going through life and, you know, sometimes it can get hard or whatnot, sometimes you just kind of go up and down. But if you have good friends around you who have the same vision or the same beliefs or the same, and they just kind of encourage you to kind of keep chasing what you want to chase, like it could be God or your career or just your other friendships. I think it's good to have, like, yeah, just friends who encourage you and things like that.
Yeah. Have you got any advice? This is probably a careful, but on, like, making friends? Like, I feel like you're a dude who's always got people around him. And I think we could learn something from that. But, like, as far as, like, making quality friendships, like, what's important in a quality friendship, do you think?
Yeah, like, I think how I try to do life, it goes back to, like, you guys remember, like, youth days where it's like, you remember the WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's such a simple thing, but it's so effective. I try to use that, like, literally every day because I'm sure, like, for example, I think about this all the time. Like, if Jesus had, like, Instagram or Facebook or something, he'd have, like, 7 billion followers, but also following 7 billion because I think sometimes we can be exclusive. When we're like, okay, no, like, this is my circle. But I think it's important to just accept everyone. And I think the basis of that is love. And, like, love needs to be the key. Like, the first thing you think about, regardless what someone's background is, regardless, like, what they've been through, I think introducing yourself with love, I think it really, because I think sometimes, especially, like, in the church context, a lot of people in the world might have their guards up just because they feel like they might be judged. But if you go in with love, it makes them go like, oh, like, that's different. I didn't expect that. And I think it comes from the basis of how Jesus did life, just by loving first before knowing the person.
So good, man. That's great. Yeah, I think something we throw around a fair bit is, like, there's always space at our table. Like, that concept of, like, it's not like, oh, no, sorry, it's just like us four and no more. It's like there's always going to be space for someone else to join. And I think that's a healthy place to be. And it's okay to be in that without feeling pressure to be somewhere else. Shifting gears for a second, Josh and Sarah, obviously you're engaged, obviously you're like, here's the one. How did you know? I think it's the question that goes thrown around. How did you know, Sarah, that, like, Josh was the one for you?
I do like that question because I feel like it's a pretty divisive topic. Because I think the fear in that idea of there being one person is this idea that you will, like, miss it or you've really missed it. And I think what I would say... that's such a hard... It's hard... it's not a hard question. Sorry. I'm just trying to think of a way that would be helpful. I think for me, the fact that it felt so unforced was a big part of it. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't a matter of trying to impress one another. It was just that everything fit so well. And there was never a part of me that had any sort of fear about, oh, does he, doesn't he, all that blah, blah, blah. Probably because of how quickly he told me he liked me, but there was never
Spill the beans.
But I think wherever there's fear, like, I don't know that that's necessarily healthy. Maybe someone would be a better communicator of that. But we just fit together well in our, in who we are, in what we believe, in the life we're trying to lead. Like, I could just immediately see a future that was going to be so good and so purpose-driven and also just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's, you know, you need someone that's a lot of fun. Can I just say, like, yeah. 45 years is a long time and I get bored really easily. which is great because Josh is just so ADHD that I'll never be bored in my life. But, like, you want someone who's fun and I just think, yeah. It, people hate it when you say, like, oh, you just know. But I think the context into that is when it just feels right, when it's moving naturally, when it's organic, when it's not forced and heavy and difficult. Mm. It's just light and you see future and you enjoy it. I would say that's a great indicator.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's a concern when, like, stuff gets intense real quick. Like, it's just, like, very intense, very quick, whatever that looks like. Mm. I think that just natural progression is a really good indicator.
Well, I think the mistake sometimes is trying to love someone before you like them fully.
Right.
I think, like, yeah, if I could just say, like, the basis, or for me, what I see, the foundation of a relationship that lasts is a great friendship, mm. is something where you can actually get along together without romantic intention, without right. any of those things. Mm. And if you try to love someone too quickly, you want them to know your deepest, darkest, the bottom of your heart, you want it to yeah. just come together so quickly, you really jeopardize what mm. is just a light friendship and actually getting to like someone for who they are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I think that's where, yeah, you want to actually just like the person.
Yeah,
and like,
for sure.
Don't worry about loving just yet. Just enjoy liking them and being around them and yeah. getting to know them, and then worry about the love.
Yeah, yeah. I think that friendship stage is something that's, like, so commonly skipped in culture, where it's just like, I mean, it's like the whole hookup thing, it just is the extreme example of that, where it's like there's no knowing the person, there's no friendship, and you're straight to, like, in, like, incredible intimacy. It's like sometimes the most fun you have in the relationship are those first days, just getting to know each other. Like, it's such a precious stage. Like, Peter and Jenny, for you, like, how important is friendship in marriage? Assuming you still like each other after 45 years.
Yeah,
most of the time, yeah. There's a song that used to say, you know, I'll always love you, but right now I just don't like you. And I think sometimes maybe it's like that.
Yeah, I never really sort of believe in, I just saw them and I knew, mm. like Sarah was saying, love is something that grows. Yeah. And yeah, the friendship stage is so important and you never rush into it. Otherwise, there's no backing out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, that's everything, really. You've got to be good friends. And you've got to remember that when you're in any sort of relationship, you're not single anymore.
Mm.
A lot of people go into marriage and still behave like they're single. They go into engagement and still behave like they're single.
Mm.
And you're not anymore. You've got to respect someone else and be considerate.
Mm.
And all those sort of things. So, yeah, friendship is just vital because love... You know, love is just, you know, there's all different types of love that the Bible describes, but yeah. those feelings go, you know, like mm. you'll be sick hurling up in the toilet. How much do you love the puppy?
Not the most romantic kind of moment. Yeah.
You know, you have kids and you're in Unity all day.
Yeah.
Be realistic. And so friendship is, you know, it's absolutely vital.
Yeah, yeah. Have you got anything to add to that, Peter?
I'll get in trouble.
Do you want to get drunk?
A previous pastor, he simply said, love is blind, marriage is an eye-opener.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the truth is to discover as much about yourself yeah. as you can, yourself yeah. and about your partner, and, yeah. and realise that you'll never know everything and you work through and you keep going. And,
yeah. And, I think it's so true that love is... It's so often a decision more than a feeling. Like, the yeah. feelings fluctuate, but love is that decision.
That's a good point, actually, that people say, who is the right person? Well, someone suggested there could be several
right,
right people. But the exclusivity comes when you make choice.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
your choice excludes all other options.
Yeah.
And now your focus is there.
Yeah.
So it, your decision is really wonderful and powerful, and it's really the thing that defines both who you are and where your relationships are going to go.
Yeah. So. I guess it's like the one is the one you choose, in a sense.
Yeah.
I think that's good that that's coming through. I think there is so much pressure on finding the one. There is this one perfect person that God has ordained and lined up, and they're waiting in their shining armor to come and sweep you off your feet. We're actually like, maybe God's like, you've got a decision to make. Like, this could go a whole bunch of ways, but when you've made that decision, stick with it. So it's like, is there such thing as the one? Well, I've found the one. But like, maybe while you're single, that's like, you know, there's different options there. In way of finishing, I guess if we could just go around and just speaking to people who are in the same stage that you're at. So people who are single, people who are dating or engaged, people who are married, like, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them? If you could speak to that, Gabriel.
Sure. I love analogies, and like the one that gets me every time is the race one. So like you know, if you're running in a race, like, you know, you're just going, like, let's say I'm just chasing my calling, because I think that's a big thing with being single. Like, I think that's the most important time of our lives, because that's where a lot of our calling is. That's where a lot of the self-discovery is. That's where a lot of like who we want to be as a person. That's where it's all rooted. So I think doing that well is key. So yeah, if we're chasing something, like I think it's important to stay focused ahead. And you know, if you're, you know, running and just chasing that, chasing your purpose, chasing your calling, like, you have people around you, and then some of them might be like mentors or something like that. And then, you know, some of them might be like really, really good friends, and then some of them might be cute. Yeah. So the thing is, it's important to kind of keep running that race. And then, like, I think when you're focused on what your purpose and your calling, because I think sometimes what some single people do is they run, but they look around, like, because I'm like, oh, this person's in a relationship, I got to do that. And what that does is it slows your pace down, because you're not focused on what you're chasing. So you tend to slow down to try to match the person who's coming here, or to try to go faster to catch up on that. And then that's almost like, in a sense, it's almost like disrespecting the time God's given you, because it's like he's given you a time to do things in a certain way. And if you, it's like, I'm not trusting God by just following other races. So what's key is just to kind of focus on your race, and the person who's right will be running the same race at the same pace, and it will make it a lot easier because you're both running the same race at the same pace.
That's awesome, man. I think that really echoes what you guys were saying before about just so naturally kind of headed in the same direction. So I think that, yeah, that's awesome, man. What about you guys, for people who are, I guess, dating, like, what would your advice be?
Yeah, I got one piece of advice for people that are looking to go into dating. And I have to preface this by saying, obviously we've only been dating for 2 years, but I've made a lot of mistakes beforehand, so I've learned from experience in the worst way possible. If you want to date someone but you think you need to fix something about them before you start dating or while you're dating, they're not the person. If the person they are when you start dating isn't good enough for you for the rest of their lives, then they never will be. You'll always be trying to fix something and look for something. And the same thing, if the person doesn't accept you for who you are from the get-go, they're not the right person.
That's great advice.
And that was probably one thing with Sarah, was I just felt like, despite all my flaws, because we all have them, she never wanted me to change. And she accepted me from the get-go. And the other piece of advice I would have is, when you are dating, is don't get comfort and complacency confused. So what I mean by that is, the more time you spend together, the more comfortable you get together. All right, it just feels easy, everything's... But what that can lead to is complacency. And you do the same thing, and you get in the same routines, because it's easy. And one day you look back and you go, we've been doing the same thing for the last 4 months. We've watched footy every Friday night. But
Sarah's like, yes.
Yeah, we do that. So. Good. But the point of that is, it's like Sarah said, always be fun. Always like be changing things right. up. Always be enthusiastic. Like, it should be fun. You don't want to get stuck in the routine. Like, it shouldn't be mundane. Mm. But you have to be really intentional in that. Yeah. Because it is something that's easy to slip into just through the sheer amount of time you can spend together and what that can look like. So, yeah. But it's, yeah, comfort, complacency, they're not the same. Don't get confused.
Yeah. Great, yeah. man. Yeah. I think intentionality in relationships is really important. And often the longer you're in the relationship, actually, ironically, I lost my voice yesterday. I was at youth on Friday night, didn't lose my voice. I was at a birthday party yesterday and it's gone. So anyway, I think the longer you're in a relationship, you have to be more intentional about being intentional, if that makes sense. Like, intentionality doesn't always come naturally. Sarah, have you got anything to add to that?
I think maybe just even a simple one is just asking lots of questions, like, as they come up. Mm. You know, I think it's so easy to make assumptions and to, not even try to delve deeper and ask people how and why, and it's such a missed opportunity, especially when you're dating, like, and looking to be married. Like, it's just, you know, you don't have too many distractions, there's no kids, there's I think life's pretty simple for me at the moment, so asking lots of questions, getting to know people, not just always sitting in front of a screen, or like mistaking that for quality time,
right?
Like, actually having conversation. If you can't talk to someone and have good conversation, yeah, I just think that's worth investing in. I think that will be really great for you. And I got a really good piece of advice from one of my friends who's married, because I started to get overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, Josh doesn't know everything about me yet and we're going to get married. And like, I just started to panic about that. And she was like, there's a lifetime for that.
Right.
Like, your friendship is going to develop over a lifetime. She's like, me and my husband still have conversations. They've been married for years, like, every day, where they learn something new about what happened in this situation years ago. And or, like, there's this time to actually learn about each other and not to panic and think they have to know everything about you in one single moment. So maybe just a balance of curiosity, but not a fear-based, like, I need to know everything about them. Yeah. They need to know everything about me. But be honest at the same time.
And I guess asking the important questions, right? Like, what would you say if there's a question that someone's afraid to ask, like, I'm not sure, I'm afraid of the answer to this. How important is it to ask those kind of questions?
Yeah, look, I think if you're afraid of the answer to a question, you need to ask that question stat.
Yeah.
especially if you're afraid because of how important that answer is to you.
Mm.
Like, if you're getting married and you have not asked your spouse if they want kids, that's could lead to a heartbreaking situation.
Yeah.
There are certain things that we need to determine before, I think, you get married.
Mm.
What are the things that could make or break? What are the things that I truly need to know the answers to?
Yeah.
Which is where I like actually asking quality questions, not just always sitting in front of a screen and going, like, we get on well together.
Yeah,
this marriage is going to be amazing. Like, ask the important questions, like you said.
Yeah.
It's going to save yourself a bit of trouble and give you time to work on it before you get married.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Peter and Jenny, what would you advise to married people?
Proverbs says that if you want to be wise, walk with the wise.
Hmm.
So if you want to protect your marriage relationship, choose close friends.
Good. Yeah.
That have got godly marriages and people who put Christ first in their lives.
Hmm.
And never hang around people who run down their partners. No matter how difficult things get, find someone that you can confide in.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, don't be ashamed, embarrassed or whatever. And another thing is, be very careful with your words. God created the world with his words.
Yeah.
And our words can destroy or build up. So, you know, when you're angry or upset or whatever, think of strategies beforehand to deal with that, because your words are powerful.
Yeah.
And they never, ever go away.
Yeah.
So they stay in that relationship. And this God's forgiveness and love, But if you don't watch your words, you'll lose respect of your partner.
Mm.
So be very careful with that.
Yeah. It's funny how untrue that whole sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's like, yeah, in the end of the day, broken bones will heal, but sometimes words are really, really powerful. Peter, how about you?
Well, just saying that sometimes those words, there's a lot of feeling attached to them, and it's, they stick around for a long time. Yeah.
Mm.
I guess just thinking that, I like coming along here on a Sunday night because I see so many amazing young faces.
Mm.
Jenny and I met in church, and we married, and we've been blessed with an amazing, amazing, amazing experience in life as a result of the decisions that we made.
Mm.
And we see life as an adventure and as a journey, and it's based on all the things that we've been able to do together. And we sometimes reflect, remember this and remember that, and we're at that stage where we've been able to
remember anything.
Yeah, talk about it now while we do remember it. Yeah. But it does. I mean, we feel so fortunate. We've been able to develop so many wonderful friends. We've been able to take on lots of different roles, and we've lived in different places, and we've owned several houses, and we've driven lots of different cars, and we've done all of those things that people say that's about life. But ultimately, the decisions that we've made and been able to make together to take on those things and to approach those opportunities, it's been a team thing where we've said, what do you think? Kind of, maybe not quite those words.
Yeah.
I came home from work one time only 3 years ago, and Jenny said, I've applied for a job, guess where? And it was Palm Island. And so I'm never going to guess Palm Island. But we went to Palm Island and we had just a fantastic year, and even still have some results from that, and it's great. So it's being able to approach those choices together.
Mm.
The choices that you make, and you support one another, and it's not Jenny's choice to go to Palm Island, it's our choice and our ability to apply ourselves and tackle those things together and enjoy the fruit of that together.
Mm.
All of that said, the foundations that we lay at the beginning affect enormously the results at the end. So, you know, we talk about friendship and then dating and then marriage. We're saying foundations.
Yeah, great.
Get that right, you're on your way.
So good.
Mm.
So good. Well, can we thank our panel? I think they've been awesome, really insightful. Thank you.